Andrews Hall Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I got to get Dennis Green on this show sometime. I love that guy, and that's the most classic thing he ever said. They are who we thought they were. We let him off the hook. I'm Bruce Hall. I got Roy here for the second week in a row. I'm pumped. We had such an average week last week. We couldn't remember who our homies were, but it doesn't matter. We've got it all figured out. And by the way, if you bet on the Washington Redskins today, their bus got in a wreck on the way to the stadium.
Their police escort missed the exit, stopped. So the first bus stopped, and then the second bus ran into the first bus. So you can see pictures on...
It was probably texting or
on the
tweeting.
Twitter. On the Twitter. If you follow either of us, we both tweeted out pictures of it. So get on that, at Roy G. Edwards and at Bruce Hall Sports.
And Roy's a little bummed, and I am too, because you know what? I finally started rooting for West Virginia, and they're beating TCU handily, pretty much. I mean, they had the ball. It was the fourth quarter. Oh, we got a call. Clark Judge.
How you doing?
Clark, I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on today. I started getting carried away with this West Virginia loss, and the Redskins, one of their team buses got run into by its other team bus. So they've got that going for them. Evidently, there's still players at – they must probably send two groups of buses from the hotel.
Well, sure they do. Yeah. They send two or three. I mean, they go at different times too.
And so there's still players in the hotel. You know,
their team bus got in an accident on the way to the season, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Absolutely. And they got RG3 back today. Like, that matters. I was scared of him because of that. But let's get right to NFL stuff, because you're doing me a favor coming on. I really appreciate it.
This is life of me as a fan. West Virginia loses on a last-second field goal, and then my pro team gets in a bus accident.
Well, how about Mississippi, guys? How about that game?
Yeah, that was maybe the freaking – and I released Auburn plus one in that game for, like, four stars yesterday. And it looked like I was going to lose it, because every time Mississippi got the ball, they literally walked down the field.
Yeah,
and it was just a freak accident. He broke his leg, didn't he?
Yeah, it looked really bad. I mean, it looked like one of those Joe Theismann injuries. And the minute I saw it, I said, I can't watch it again. And I love what they were doing on TV. It's really tough for us to show this, so we won't. And then they showed it about 10 times.
Exactly. But I got to tell you, I watched it, and it didn't look terrible. It just didn't look great. I was thinking he might not be hurt that bad, because it looked like the foot gave way after he went back a certain, but I couldn't believe he let go of the ball. I thought he scored for sure. When I first saw it, I thought he got in, then he fumbled.
I thought he scored for sure. I can believe he let go of the ball. I mean, it must be excruciating pain. I mean, his foot looked like it went in completely opposite direction.
That was an amazing game, but that ended up coming down to basically two offenses that were, you know, Mississippi's got this great defense, but they have so many injuries. I think they got four guys hurt yesterday. I mean, it was bad. Hey, let's talk NFL. Of course, this is Clark Judge, Talk of Fame Network, NFL insider, my guy. You are my guy, Clark. You're the best. Hey,
I love being on here, and I love the fact that you retweet things and I correspond with you that way. But thanks, Bruce. I appreciate it.
Let's do this. Let's talk a little bit about the games that you like today. There's obviously – let's talk about the biggest one first and foremost. And there's going to be, like, wind gusts up to 40 miles an hour. It's going to probably have feel like it's 15 degrees in Foxborough tonight. But you got – or this late this afternoon, actually. You got Peyton Manning coming in there from Denver. Now, he's a little bit more used to the cold weather now that he's in Denver, not inside in Indianapolis. But it's still Tom Brady weather, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's not the cold here. It's the wind. I mean, I live in New York City, and we've got gusts up to 40 miles an hour here. I mean, the wind is going to be a factor in this ball game. And that's going to be a factor in the performance and for both quarterbacks. But it's so difficult to bet against Brady at home. I mean, his record up there is unassailable. He wins almost everything he plays, including that game last year where he's down 24-0 at the half to Peyton Manning and the Broncos. But I'll tell you this. My heart says Brady. My head says Manning for this reason. They've got a top-five defense. They've got the better defense. Denver does. And I think those tackles are going to have a tough time holding up against Ware and Miller on the outside pass rush. If they can protect, to me, the key is the offensive line for New England. If they can protect Brady, I like New England. But I don't think they can. And so, therefore, I see Denver's, a three-point favorite? Mm-hmm. I like Denver in this game.
You know what? And if you look at history, generally speaking, the better defense does mean something when you have bad weather. And they are going to be, they're going to be coming hard. They're going to be coming up the middle. They're going to be coming around from the ends. They're going to be having stunts from time to time, but that they do have a very good defense. This is the best defense that Denver has had in a long time, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it is. And let's just see how it holds up. I mean, people say, oh, Denver, you know, Super Bowl team. Wait, we're at midseason. I mean, injuries change everything. And if one of these quarterbacks were to go, Brady or Manning, you go, that team's finished. But I will say this about Tom Brady. I never, ever, ever underestimate or undersell this guy. 3 years ago, I think it was, he was down 31-3 to San Francisco, and he came back, tied the game. They ended up losing it, but he was extraordinary in that game. I thought he was extraordinary the second half last year against Denver, and certainly they won that ball game. This is a big deal to me. He's an extraordinary quarterback. He's a very competitive guy, and when he's home, the odds are always in his favor. What's not in his favor is that offensive line, which has gotten better, but not still. It's not the Rock of Gibraltar. And then the defense, to me, is still somewhat porous. I think it's a work in progress. They've got some good points, but they're missing some people. I mean, Mayo's gone. They're missing Chandler Jones. That's going to hurt them.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And I like what you said about Denver, because I was on the fence here because I just haven't. You know, it is in Foxborough. And you know how I feel about when they played Foxborough. There's no telling what's going on in Foxborough as far as I'm concerned. Let's look at another New York game. The Jets are, God, did you see Izzik's press conference? Of course you did.
Yeah, right.
That was sad. I mean, it was really...
It is. Hey, Bruce, he knows what's up. I mean, the ship's going down. He's going down with it. It's a sad thing. And that's what, you know, when you're standing there going, I don't know who's going to be our quarterback. I mean, when a coach says that, it's over. And I thought when he exploded on the sidelines last week during the game, that was the last gasp of a dying coach. I mean, he knows it's over. He's doing whatever he can. It doesn't make any difference. He doesn't have the players. He doesn't have the players, Bruce. I mean, defensively, he's always good and always competitive, but he can't be with the secondary. Secondary stinks. They have nobody back there. In fact, they suited up a wide receiver to play defensive back. It's on the GM. I mean, GM's not getting in players. Offensively, they don't really have any playmakers. Now they got Percy Harvin, but he was running as much as he was catching last week. Mm-hmm. And they don't have a quarterback. He's got to choose between these two guys, Michael Vick and Geno Smith. And Michael Vick, honestly, is nothing more than an older version of Geno Smith at this point. I mean, Michael Vick was an extraordinary player as a young guy. Not anymore. He gets hurt, and he turns the ball over. And you saw that last week. They got Geno Smith out because of three turnovers. Get Michael Vick in. What happens? Three turnovers. That's what you're going to see. They don't have, to me, they don't have a prayer in Kansas City.
Yeah, I've got the Chiefs minus the 10, and that's actually my play of the day. I love the Chiefs in this game. Let's look at another game real quick. Baltimore and Pittsburgh. You know, two of the top teams, you know, in the AFC North. For a long time, Pittsburgh dominated Baltimore. Now, all of a sudden, it's kind of turned on them. Baltimore has got a team. They almost draft this team and develop this team to be able to beat the Steelers. And now they seem to have a pretty good time when they play Pittsburgh, whether it's in Pittsburgh or at home. How do you feel about this game, Clark?
Well, I saw the money shifted late, Bruce, and I think Baltimore is now like a 1.5-point favorite.
Yep.
And I understand that because I do think they're the better team. I don't know what to make of Pittsburgh. I mean, until last week, I said Pittsburgh's an also-ran. They're not going anywhere. Could they finish last in this division? Yeah, they could. Then they showed some signs last week of life and some real signs against a good. And they're home, and that certainly bodes well for them. And the other thing that bodes well is Jimmy Smith's not playing. And so are they going to stop Roethlisberger? I don't know. Away simply because of the better team and again the better defense. I think
let me ask you this too. We got a couple of minutes left in this segment. Arizona's at Dallas. Now Dallas, you know, they go down and Tony Romo injures his back, and now they come out and yesterday he's not playing today. Of course, we didn't know that till this morning. You know, you're looking at an Arizona team that you and I both like a lot. We like the coach, we like the players, we like the defense. they can win this game in Dallas, can't they?
They can, and I don't think Romo makes a difference here. Before Romo went out, I thought Arizona was the pick, and they were a four-point underdog at that point, and I think it's gone on to three or three and a half. But the fact of the matter is, the question is not Romo or Brandon Weeden. The question is DeMarco Murray. If they can stop DeMarco Murray, I do think they win this ball game, and I think they can stop him. They have the third-ranked run defense in the league, and they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher in the last 17 games. So Todd Bowles does a great job with his defense. You bottle up Murray, then what happens? The pressure's on the quarterback. So it's on Romo or it's on Weeden. I don't think either one of those two guys can solve this defense. I think that Arizona's, they don't have great people on offense. I'm talking about Carson Palmer. Fitzgerald's not the same, but when they are good, and Fitzgerald's very good last week, Michael Floyd's very good, you saw John Brown, very good player. When they are in sync, you see what can happen. I like Arizona in this game. I like Arizona in the upset.
You know what? I'm going with them, too. I do like them. You know, it just doesn't – you look at that game, and it just doesn't make sense. But you and I both know, in reality, the spaceship, you know, the Dallas – Stadium, Jerry's World, or whatever you want to call it, has never really been a home. It's never been a place where they have any advantage at all anyway. And I think
now
with Weeden starting instead of Romo, you know, I can see this being an Arizona game. One last game, Clark. In the game that I liked the most all week long is Miami. The Dolphins are at home. They're playing San Diego, a team that's that's good. They're good, but they've got some problems. They're, if anything, they seem to be taking a breath here in the middle of the season a little bit, and they haven't won there since 1982 when Kellen Winslow blocked the field goals. You remember that? I mean, that's 32 years ago. And I read that yesterday, and I thought, well, a lot of it has to do with the fact San Diego probably hasn't been that much better or even as good as Miami at times over those 32-year period. But you know what? This Ryan Tannehill, the more I look at that, the more I wished almost as a Redskin fan my whole life that the Redskins had drafted him and not Robert Griffin III. This kid's getting better slowly. Every game he seems to get better. Miami's going to win this game, aren't they?
I don't know. I mean, I think they could, and I think they might, but San Diego's beaten up in the secondary. That's why I think people like Miami here. San Diego's a better team than Miami. I agree with about Tannehill, but he's still inconsistent, Bruce. He's had some games where you go, wow, I mean, he should be better than that. But they're beginning to get something together there, and you kind of like it. I mean, like what's going on defensively, I think they're pretty sound. But San Diego's not right now. San Diego's got some major injuries. And as I said to the secondary, I think people figure, especially with Mike Wallace calling out that offense this week, that they could light him up. And they could. Again, it's Phillip Rivers, and you want to take Rivers versus Tannehill. It's no-brainer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Phillip Rivers is having a great year. But it's a cross-country trip for the Chargers. They have to win one of the next two. And this looks like the one I would peg. I will, you know what, I'll take you on this one. I'll take San Diego in a close one. If it were in San Diego, it shouldn't be close. But with that secondary depleted, I think it's a toss-up. You like Miami, I'll take San Diego.
You know what? Cameron Wake is the guy that I think is just amazing.
And
The way they're playing on defense, and they are getting pressure on the sides of the ball. But now, I tell you what, we'll do that, and I'll take you out to dinner when I get to New York here in a couple of weeks. This has been Clark Judge, my NFL insider. Talk of Fame Network, and if you don't see Talk of Fame Network, just Google it for crying out loud. Everything they put out is phenomenal. Clark, thanks so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it, buddy. And I'll see you.
Bruce, and I'll let's do it next week.
You got it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Clark.
Clark Judge, everybody. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and we'll be back in a minute on News Talk, Sports Talk, 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. We're going to talk a little bit of MLB, switch things up real quick before we get back into football, because it is a football Sunday. But there was another event that happened this week that is worth noting. It was the World Series, the MLB World Series, the San Francisco Giants, who Bruce, he leans that way. He leans the orange and black. So, Bruce, congratulations.
Look, I mean, first of all, I didn't jinx him because I never picked him. Mm-hmm. I picked St. Louis, remember?
Yes.
And I also didn't jinx him because I didn't go to San Francisco and see one game. Not one game did I go to San Francisco and see them play at any time during the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I was there for games one and two in Kansas City when we got the first one. Mm-hmm. And I was there for game seven when we got the last one. And let me just say this. You know, I'd like to thank the fans of Kansas City. They were real nice to all of us. I didn't see one fight in the entire stadium the entire time I was there. And let me tell you, there's a lot of San Francisco Giant fans everywhere you go because this goes all the way back to the New York Giants, the New York baseball Giants, mm-hmm. back, you know, played in the Polo Grounds. I mean, that was a long time ago. And people were brought up, even that lived in New York, to be Giant fans. And when they moved to San Francisco, mm-hmm. they didn't give up the Giant being fans of the Giants. But, you know, one of my best friends, guy I played Little League baseball with, Bruce Bochy, takes care of me when I go to spring training. He takes care of me when I mean, he's just a phenomenal guy. And, you know, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. He's in the Hall of Fame now. He will be. There's no question. He's probably going to, you know, whatever they're paying Joe Maddon in Chicago with the Cubs, just add $1 million a year to that for Bochy, because he makes Joe Maddon look like a Little League coach. And I like Joe Maddon.
How about Joe Maddon going to the Cubs, though?
Well, you know, that was a pretty nasty little thing. And, you know, somebody's going to end up losing a draft choice or two over that or be fined pretty heavily, because there was that deal was done before he quit. You know, and you can just tell. And I'm not saying I know, because I don't, but listen.
How quickly that
– Yeah.
Things don't get done that quickly.
It developed too quickly. And you know when you really knew was when Theo Epstein was quiet with the original questions. You couldn't find Theo Epstein for days, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't like Theo Epstein anyway. Now, the Cubs, let me tell you, the Cubs will – they're going to be developing some talent. They're going to do a pretty good job. They evidently have the money to do it. They're redoing the stadium, right? I mean, they're making some changes to Wrigley Field, trying mm-hmm. to modernize it a little bit, yeah. put a few extra seats in there somehow, kind of like they did in Fenway Park in the 80s and 90s.
Well, they're still doing it at Fenway, too. They just put in a walkway with a restaurant.
There's only 38,000 seats there, and they can sell it out every night. But let me just say this. All of that means nothing if you don't have a skipper that's got the heartbeat of the team, that you want to play for, you want to win for, you want to listen to, you want to know that he's there watching your back all the time. And that's what Bruce Bochy is. Bruce Bochy is a great manager, and he was a great teammate. And that you know, when he played minor league and Major League Baseball. And that's and generally catchers are like that. But he just gets better all the time. I watched the parade on – I guess the parade was Friday – and actually, you know what's great about technology? You can take pictures of a TV and get some pretty good pictures of players and events and all of that. But let me tell you how this worked. I was at games one and two, but anyway, I told him. I said, I don't want to come to game six. I can't come to game six. I have a sick lab and couldn't really get away. So I said, don't make me come out there for game seven. You guys get it tonight. Well, they got squashed 10-0 that night. And that was Tuesday night. So I got it's midnight. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, I'm booking my fare on Delta. And I book a flight, you know, that had one stop, I want to say in Atlanta. But I had to be at the airport at like 4:30 for a 6 a.m. flight, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm carrying on. It's not a big deal. I'm not even going to get a hotel room because I don't need a hotel room because I figure I didn't even rent a car. I just took a cab from the airport and a cab back. But
you flew in same day?
Yeah, and flew out the next morning. But I actually got down on the field. Brett Bochy and Tommy and the Bumgardners, you know, the in-laws, and all of them were sitting in section 125 all the way at the top. And Brett kept texting me, where are you? Where are you? Stand up. And where I was sitting, they were standing up the whole game. You'd have thought you were at a damn college football game. So I'm standing up, and I told Brett, don't worry about it. I said, you know, it was 3-2 about the time we started texting back and forth. All the scoring was like in the first three innings. So you know, I'm not going to jinx them by moving. You know me. I had my lucky. I had like five different T-shirts on underneath, like Boach's jersey that he wore in the Sue Burns Memorial game. She was the CEO of the Giants about 6 years ago, and she died of cancer. And it had her name on this. I wore that when they won the World Series in Texas. That was exactly what I wore. I had the hat on that I wore in Texas. So I wasn't going to do anything to jinx it.
You can't do anything different.
So anyway, they win. You know, Pablo makes that, catches the ball.
They're rolling back on his back.
Yeah, and the people are actually stomping on. They're walking all over him and kicking him on their way to the mound. And so I go over to where Brett was, Bruce's son, and they've just left. Now, you had to have a pink wristband to get into the clubhouse. Well, to get on the field. Well, I walked in with Bumgardner's agent, Tommy, and he got me in to the field. But then I started to walk into the clubhouse, and they wouldn't let me in because I didn't have a pink thing. I told them to go get poached. They said they weren't going to do it. I mean, I texted everybody I could. Brett didn't have his phone. His girlfriend had his phone, and it was in her purse, and he was too excited because he was a member of that team. Mm-hmm. But anyway, make a long story short. You know, it was a great time. They won. I walk all the way up the hill, get a cab, go back to the airport because I figure at 1:30, 2 o'clock, I got to be there at 5:36 anyway. My flight leaves at 6:40. I'm just going to eat something, watch TV, chill out. No. Tiny airport. It was me, the security guards, and the ladies cleaning the bathrooms at the airport.
No restaurant, no nothing?
There was a deli. I had a sandwich and a Diet Coke, and I laid down and I slept for about 2 hours. And when I woke up, there were like hundreds of people walking around me. It was great. Hey, we're going to be back in a minute. But hey, San Francisco Giants, 3 championships in 5 years. Mets, Yankees, pay attention. We'll be back in a minute with more on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back. So now multiple reports are saying that if you want to hear all the Redskins, just hoopla, I'm about to hit it with you. So the Redskins, first, couldn't make their bus trip to the Minnesota Stadium on time today because they were in a bus accident. If you didn't hear us in the first segment, we talked about that. So the first round of buses were in a bus accident. RG3 was not on the bus, but that did not stop any more drama relating to RG3, who all reports say is going to start today, as ESPN just ran a story saying that RG3, or Robert Griffin III, has lost the locker room and he's alienated players, and the locker room is not behind him.
Redskins, that was what the drama I'm reading about.
Yeah,
is.
The Redskins. Okay. So the Redskins
That makes sense.
So now beat reporters alike and some of the Redskins are saying that couldn't be more true. That's a lie. So
could be more false.
Robert Griffin. Robert Griffin starts and the drama comes back. That's Washington. So for all of you non-Redskins fans, just have a good laugh at it.
You know, I was gonna. You know, they were a 4-star play for me until the last hour, and now I'm thinking about scratching them. Because how can you? I mean, you know, first of all, I don't think the bus accident is that big of a distraction, but it is a distraction.
Yeah.
And generally, distractions aren't positive, but this other stuff with Robert Griffin, I mean, who cares?
It's ridiculous.
You know, who cares? You know, who cares? You know, he's liable to go in, run around the corner, and get nailed, and then limp off the field anyway, and then we'll see Colt McCoy, I guess. And, you know, the rest will be history. I don't even care about that anymore. Let's do this, Roy. Let's talk. We were talking about the World Series. For those of you that didn't hear before, I was at Game 7. It was a lot of fun. There was a lot of blue there. But I got to tell you, remember when I went to the wild card game in Pittsburgh? Mm-hmm. I've never seen a louder group than that one. But then Brandon Crawford hit a grand slam in the third or fourth inning and got real quiet. And that was it. Madison Bumgarner, by the way, did something nobody's ever done. I mean, he is the best pitcher postseason. At the age of just turning 25, of any World Series pitcher in the history of the game. And he came back on 2 days rest through five innings of shutout ball. Yeah. And
didn't he have a sub-1 ERA going into this?
It's like 0.27 or something.
That's just sick.
No, it's ridiculous. And, you know, how quickly do you forget about Clayton Kershaw? How would you like to be Clayton Kershaw, who had the best season of any left-hander probably since Sandy Koufax? You know, seriously. And now anybody can talk about it's bum. Bum this, bum that. They're the same age. They're both like 25, 26 years old. How'd you like to have both of them? Jesus, wouldn't that be? Hey, you know what? If one of it, well, bum's not going anywhere. He's actually under contract, people, till 2019. But the contract isn't a $20, $25 million a year contract. They're going to redo his deal and probably give him 8 years or 10 years until, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And guarantee all of it. It's baseball. All of it's guaranteed. Now, Bum did a great job. He went out there. And you got to understand, this guy is a modest guy. It was a great story about a guy that interviewed his dad. His dad evidently hurt his knee so bad he can't really go anywhere. But he was talking about, you know, just how tough his son was. And he wasn't worried about anything. And said that he'd take a steak off the devil's plate. He said, I didn't know if he was going to win or lose, but I knew that kid would steal a steak off the devil's plate. That's a pretty good thing to hear from your father when you're 25 years old.
Good stuff, huh?
It is good stuff. And what was really good was at the Pittsburgh game, I got to sit with his in-laws, and they are the nicest people in the world. You know, he lives in Western North Carolina. They call the area he lives in Bumtown because everybody's a bum gardener. They're all farmers and cattle farmers too. And They gave him – how about the guy that gave him his truck, Roy? Did you see that?
I didn't see that. No. Oh, yes, I did.
The guy couldn't talk.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, because he probably ran down there because he was probably, like, late getting down there. But this poor guy was so unprepared for what he was doing. And Bud Selig, who I don't think a lot of anyway, kept making faces off the camera like at the guys that were doing it, like, who is this moron? And you know what? Who cares? I mean, he was just, you know, it sounds like he was a local guy is what he was. He was from Kansas City. He wasn't like, was it a Ford? I think it was a Ford.
It's a Chevy.
It was a Chevy
here,
truck.
I have the, Matt, if I send this URL to you, will you be able to play
it? But go online. You can go to Roy's, go to sportsmancave.com. He'll put it up there eventually, and you can look at it. You go to brucehallsports.com. You can look at it. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce. Roy's here today. Yay! Second week in a row. I love it when Roy's around. Matthew is doing phenomenally over here because we had a very slight accident earlier, but everything seems to be okay. He's still squirming over there.
We had
worried
our own
about
Redskins
it.
Accident.
Yeah, it's just that kind of, you know what this is? Halloween weekend, man. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, Halloween weekend can be pretty weird. But anyway, let's talk NFL football. You know, I'm happy about the World Series doing what it is. A lot of the deals now are being done. You know, after the, because you couldn't make a deal until after the World Series.
For what?
Dealing pitchers.
Oh, you know, okay.
There are deals going down in Major League Baseball right now. Like Andrew Miller, this guy the Orioles ended up mm-hmm. with for the playoffs.
Right.
Left-hander out of the University of North Carolina. You know, was in Boston. He's going to end up being a eighth inning kind of guy,
mm-hmm.
a left-hander for. They're saying he might make $15 million a year. That's a lot of money.
Not bad. Is he lefty?
He's a lefty.
Left-handed reliever is the greatest job in all sports.
He's like 6'8". Javi Lopez is making $4 million a year. He comes in, he gets one guy out, and hands the ball back
to Boach. Do you have the audio? All right, here we go. This is the guy presenting the trophy.
Yeah, this is good. Listen to this.
Listen to how he talks about the features of the car.
The official vehicle of Major League Baseball, Chevrolet, is proud to participate in this prestigious award. Along with our dealers, we are also extremely honored to get back to this sport by supporting baseball in cities and towns across this nation. At Chevrolet, we have also been proud of the latest and greatest technology in our truck lineup, which is the all-new 2015 Chevy Colorado.
Here comes.
It combines class winning and leading, technology and stuff with Wi-Fi powered by OnStar. Is it there on screen?
There's like
to
stuff.
To recognize your performance in this 2014 World Series, I proudly present to you your own 17s, your brand new 2015.
I love that part.
Chevy Colorado. Congratulations.
You obviously can't.
Congratulations.
You obviously can't see that part because it's the radio.
He reached into his deep into his pocket to pull out
into his pocket,
and he
for
couldn't
the keys.
Get them out at first. he just, couldn't get the keys.
That guy.
Out. Should have had the keys in his hand.
Right? What are you doing?
But you know what, Bum? Nobody Poor was guy. More happy than Bum because you know it's not like he doesn't have about six trucks already, and they all have gun racks and they all have. Glass packs
oh my God.
And big that old video. Tires, and they're all yeah. No, it doesn't get any better.
The guy is sitting there, so he's got like a suit that's probably two sizes too big for him, and he's got these index cards on him, trying to scroll around the index cards.
He does, yeah. But you know what? Guy. Hey, I felt sorry for
he's
him.
He's probably some bigwig.
Didn't you feel sorry for him a little bit?
Probably not. The guy's probably rich. The guy's probably
he's probably
rich.
Filthy rich.
So the guy is the regional sales manager and a huge Royals fan.
Oh,
so
is he a Royals fan?
Him. Yeah.
See, I didn't know that. So he was probably super butthurt while he's doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Poor guy.
Get over it.
I don't feel sorry for him at all. Hey,
but this guy was like basically gone from trying to get people to put a new stereo in their new car to... going on national TV and presenting a car.
Well, listen, here's the latest on Tony Romo, speaking of drama. Mm-hmm. Source close to Tony Romo says he will not play.
Well, good.
Because evidently somebody...
Yeah, there's a couple things out there.
Yeah, Tom Lavera of the Washington Times just came out and said they're making the decision now. Well, we heard at 8 o'clock this morning he wasn't playing.
You know who probably said that is Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones probably reached
he's
out
already,
to somebody and was like...
You think Jerry's been asleep yet? I bet he's been up all night. He's probably been doing table dances. And
I mean, you could see...
I'm just kidding.
Jerry Jones wants Tony Romo to start. Obviously, Tony Romo cannot start. The guy's got a broken back.
He can't move.
But you could see... At the towards the end of that Washington Redskins-Dallas Cowboys game where Jerry Jones, he came down from the box, walked into the locker room, checked on Romo, and then walked over to the head coach, Garrett, and was like, hey, Romo's ready to go now whenever you can get him in. And then that could have cost them that game. I mean, Brandon Whedon is not a slouch.
Brandon Whedon had great numbers in that game. He came in and he did everything he needed to do, plus he looked a lot better moving. You know, Brandon Whedon was a professional baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brandon Whedon played baseball until he was 28 years old.
And
then
Whedon,
he went to Oklahoma State, got
Whedon,
drafted.
Yep, Whedon and Dez Bryant played together, too. So they already have that chemistry.
Oh, jeez. You know, and you know what? By the way, I was all over them, and I got crowned. Look, it's tough being a Redskin fan, period. But it's really tough being a Redskin fan when you release the other side and lose. You know, normally I get the Redskins 65-70% right. Because, I mean, we know what's going on, generally speaking.
I'm terrible when picking the Redskins.
Are you really?
I feel like that's why I'm so good with the Ravens is because I read everything about the Ravens, but I have no vested interest in them. Whereas the Redskins, I read everything about the Redskins, but my heart tells me to bet on them every game.
We're going to be back with, I almost said Tony Romo. Probably could get Tony on the phone. We're going to be back with Tony Mazur from Cleveland. We're going to talk about LeBron James, and we're going to talk about Johnny Manziel and the Cleveland Browns. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
A couple updates here. AJ Green will play today. Tony Romo will not play today.
And Tony Mazur's on the phone.
And the RG3 decision to start was apparently handed down by Dan Snyder. Not the head coach this coming. All of those
Yeah,
three
because
reports,
he would have had two more weeks with the bye week.
All three of those reports coming from Adam Schefter. So now, Mr. Tony Tony Romo. Mr. Tony Mazur. Hey, buddy. How are you?
Don't compare me to Tony Romo,
Yes,
please.
I apologize. I deeply apologize.
What is going... So the Redskins bus got into an accident?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Tell them what happened,
We're
Roy.
Great drivers. Wow. So I blame it on the stadium being built in Maryland because all Maryland drivers are terrible. So the
are probably not from Maryland.
Oh,
they're
but
up
the
there.
Fact that there's Maryland people on the bus that alone had something to do with it. So the bus. All right. So the bus had a police escort, right? So the police escort's in front of the two buses. They're on the way to the stadium. The police escort missed the exit and tried to stop. The first bus missed the dodged the first exit and then ran into the cop, and then the next bus came and hit the first bus. So apparently the cop took the most of the injuries.
So they got that going for them right now.
Pierre Garçon tweeted out a picture of the busted windshield. So apparently he was on the bus. Griffin and some of the other guys were not.
So anything that exciting happening in Cleveland this weekend?
We didn't have that. No, we just only had the return of the arguably the best basketball player in the world
ever.
Then, of course, in typical Cleveland fashion, the whole lead up, the entire summer, I was on with you guys a few times since then and talking about everyone's so excited. There's a championship, Kevin Love. And I end up just taking a dump on live TV. Everyone's watching. LeBron was he missed 8 of his first 9 shots. And it was rough. It was a rough one. But, in typical Cleveland fashion, as I like to say, we got over it quickly. We're very forgiving here.
Yeah, about halfway.
Unless it's Art Modell.
About halfway, yeah, definitely. If it's Art Modell,
can't forgive him.
About halfway through the third quarter, Mr. LeBron James, or as he refers to himself as King James, had about 4 points, and the stat line was just not there. A lot of hype around this defense, thinking that LeBron James would come in and just automatically make a bunch of guys who aren't good at playing defense make them better, which. It seems to be not the case. You lose to a New York Knicks team who is his incredibly offensive power, and then you beat a Chicago Bulls team who is pretty offensively challenged, even with a Derrick Rose back.
In overtime.
And that took overtime. Although this Bulls is not – they're not a bad team. This is probably a pretty good Bulls team with Derrick Rose coming back. But how concerned is Cleveland about their defensive play?
No one's concerned, to be honest. The other day, I had a bunch of people. Yeah, they're all saying it's early, and everyone's like, "What's with everyone freaking out about the team? We're 2 games in," and I'm like, "Who's freaking out about it? Who's going out there saying fire David Blatt and LeBron has diminishing skills? Who's saying this? Mm-hmm. It's not happening.
No,
everyone knows. I mean, it's November 2nd right now. The NBA season drags on way too friggin' long." And, it takes a little bit for a team to gel. It just happens that way. It took the Heat. Where were they? 8-9 or 9-8 in their first 17 games? And it was a transition period and everything. So, but LeBron, LeBron's not, maybe he lost too much weight. Because the summer, it's like he was on P90X. He was all shredded and he was like, looking really thin.
Well, there's
looking,
there's a big difference between doing state of the art HGH and doing what he's doing. I mean, and he's done them both probably and gotten away with them. But yeah, I liked it better when he looked like a tight end.
He did look like
a tight end. Big for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, he looks like a punter now.
He does. He looks different, but I'll tell you that. Well, condition wise, but he always does. What is he? He always plays 46. Minutes a game. I mean, he's always in there all the time, pretty much. He can't afford to come out there very often. I bet you in the first 15, 20 games, he'll take some breaks and get in shape a little bit. How did Love look in the second game, Tony? Did he look okay?
He had 16. He was 16-16, which is like a down game for him. It was like he missed some shots. When you get 16 points, 16 rebounds, that's no slouch of a game. But if Kevin Love feels that that was a down game, then you go, well.
Yeah, really.
You can imagine what a great game is.
How did Melo do?
2 double-doubles for Kevin Love, and he's not happy. So that's good news for all of Cleveland.
Exactly. What did you say, Bruce?
How did Melo?
Melo on Thursday?
The Knicks,
For the Knicks. He was that's the thing about that Knicks team is just they're like going in such an opposite direction and no one knows where they're going.
Right.
I mean, it is just it's Carmelo Anthony's going to jack up half the shot.
Yep.
And then you just have random guys. And this is an organization that picked Derek Fisher. I mean, it's like They were trying to make the Lakers East. It's like the East Coast Lakers right now, mm-hmm. but like the East Coast Lakers of the current season right now. Not the Showtime Lakers. You have Derek Fisher, who's a first-year coach who I don't know what you're going to get from him. And you have Phil Jackson, who, like we had in Cleveland a couple of years ago, and Mike Holmgren. That just reeks of a Mike Holmgren situation, a guy who's just going to make some public appearances, talk on the radio a little bit, and basically steal paychecks from the Dolan. So that's what it seems like.
It's funny that you mentioned the East Coast Lakers, because there's been talk of Kobe Bryant possibly heading to New York to become a Knick because of a couple of the guys that you just mentioned, the huge contract deal that the Lakers have. But, of course, something that stands in the way of that is the big TV deal for a quadruple billion dollars that the Lakers are being paid for their TV deal. And the only real big name there is Kobe Bryant. So that's funny that you compared the Knicks to the Lakers. But back to the Cleveland Cavaliers, Waiters, or whatever, however you want to say his name, has been kind of the guy put on the hot seat because of his defensive play and how terrible he has looked in the years past. Is his starting job really in jeopardy? I mean, there's been a lot of talking heads who have claimed that he's the first to go. He's the first chess piece to be moved in order to make this team a little bit more defensive.
Deion Waiters was a stretch when they picked him. He was a guy who Boeheim up in Syracuse put him as a sixth man. He was coming off the bench, an energy guy. And all of a sudden, he's picked fourth overall and expects to start. Well, the problem is the last two seasons he was playing with the Cavs, the Cavs were a laughingstock. They were embarrassing. It was the worst basketball I probably ever had seen. And I've seen some bad basketball. Trust me, I've seen then known as the Charlotte Bobcats win seven games in that strike short season. I've seen some bad stuff, and that was bad. And Deion Waiters is a guy that he's a chucker. He likes to throw the balls up constantly. And he's just the guy that he creates his own shot. That's fine. But the problem with him is, he's probably better suited for being on a terrible team and scoring 25 a game rather than being a role player, understanding his role, and coming off the bench. He does not want to accept that, and that's going to be a thorn in the side of David Blatt and the Cavs this year. I know it's two games in, and I'm not freaking out, but I just don't. I don't like Waiters' attitude about that, and he seems like a guy that can, should be moved at some point.
We're talking to Tony Mazur, our Cleveland insider. And when I mean Cleveland insider, I mean Cleveland insider. It doesn't matter what it is in Cleveland. You just need to call Tony Mazur. Tony, how do people, follow you on Twitter?
You find me at Tony Mazur, TONYMAZUR. If you're going to travel through Cleveland, you're around there going through Thanksgiving. Night before Thanksgiving, I'm opening up for Chuck Booms at the Improv.
Now wait a minute. Are you doing stand up? Are you doing stand up?
I've been doing it.
Well, you're a stand up kind of guy anyway. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's all. That's all sports radio is stand up comedy in front of a microphone anyway. So I mean, I was thinking the other day, not that there's anything to it, but I could do an hour on just people driving.
No,
period.
I don't think you could.
People driving.
What? He's lying.
What's the deal with people behind
What's
the car?
I would get a little bit more intense than that. I'm going to tell you something. When you watch people.
I would
people,
pay to see you do a stand-up act.
You are.
I would.
You pay to see us. You don't pay, but you come here every week and see
something
one.
Something tells me 40% of it would be just racial stereotypes.
Which is exactly what you get paid for. Well, I wasn't even talking about regular drivers. I was talking about, we won't go there.
Don't,
Matt gets
don't
mad
go there.
Because, see, Matt's a liberal. You can't talk about minority drivers. But anyway.
You obviously don't know me.
I guess. Man. Hey, Tony, let me ask you a question. The Browns. The Browns.
Yes.
They should win today, correct? They're playing five teams in a row that have a record of 2-80 or something, right? How come they can't win them all?
Because they play down to their competition, really. I mean, they play Jacksonville, who is awful.
You got whacked.
Blake Bortles, okay, maybe he could be, he'll either be the next Blaine Gabbert, he'll be the next, whatever. But they shouldn't have
Kirk Cousins.
Got killed by Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And then they played like garbage. And by the way, the quarterback rating stat that I want to bring up, I'm not a Brian Hoyer hater.
Right.
But they're like, well, you know, Brian Hoyer had a 111 quarterback rating. I'm like, he played awful.
Yeah.
He had four balls that should have been interceptions that were dropped by, but that's not counted in quarterback rating.
Right.
And people just look at that as like that. That and Pro Football Focus are like the two things that everybody has to. It's the Bible for football fans and in football analysis. And they're like, you got to watch the game. Brian Hoyer was terrible. He threw one touchdown pass. It was a 1 yard pass that my dog can throw. And it just was. I'm almost on the free Johnny Manziel bandwagon.
That's what I was just about to ask you, is how much hype.
How's he doing? I mean, do you hear anything about Johnny anymore?
Well, the only thing you could hear is that he was sitting courtside at the Cavs game
I saw the picture of him.
He was yelling BS at the
He was with Hayden, right? He was with Hayden, the cornerback.
Yeah, he was with Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden was texting his wife, and he spilled beer all over himself. So that's nice. I'm almost on that bandwagon where it's like, you know what? What are you going to do with Manziel? You have all the other rookie quarterbacks starting in the league, from Derek Carr to Bridgewater to Bortles, and yet you have undrafted Brian Hoyer, and you're basically who's a poor man's Alex Smith. He's not doing anything that's mind-blowing, that's setting the world on fire.
Right.
So what are you doing with him? So I think the Hoyer thing is just he is the definition of stopgap right now.
Well,
so,
with any luck at all, Tony, it'll be like in Washington where you just pray that Robert Griffin's knee gets hurt again. And so you can at least see somebody go in there that you feel a little bit better about. You know what I mean?
Oh, you mean like Colt McCoy?
Love Colt. Hey, how about that last week? I mean, that was a Cleveland scrimmage.
Tony, today I am wearing my Colt Brennan Redskins jersey. So just know.
Yeah.
Just know I own one. I just know I own that.
Hey, Tony, hold on. We'll be back with you in a minute. What time is it? It's 11 o'clock. It's 5 minutes. We're going to cut you, Tony. I bet you got. If you don't have to go, hold on. We'll see you in a minute. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, running down some NFL games now. We have
it's about that time.
If you're just joining us, this is the second hour of the show. The first hour where we had Clark Judge on, went over some of his NFL picks, some NFL news in the day, talked about the Redskins bus accident. AJ Green is starting. Tony Romo is not. There's always drama in Washington. The Giants won the World Series, and Cleveland isn't freaking out after one game. That's
right.
Much your hour. Recap. Now,
I have a question. You saw Jerry Jones come down out of the box last week down to the field and get in Jason Garrett's ear during the game to tell him that Tony's okay.
He's good to go.
Like he didn't have guys that could do that, like the trainers and the medical people and all that. Jerry had to come down and do that. If you had to guess what his blood alcohol content was at that time, what would you guess? I would say a 1.8.
It was up
like 1.8, 1.7. I think he was legally drunk.
Well, he
don't you?
What really got me? What really kind of made me a little bit thankful that Jerry Jones isn't our owner is when ESPN did the mid-game interview with Jerry Jones. Have you ever seen that in a football game?
No,
I don't think I've ever seen that.
You know why
they
did? You know why they did that? Because that's what Fox was doing in baseball all year.
Yeah.
They were interviewing guys in the dugouts, the managers, the hitting coaches, the pitching coaches, players.
But why in an NFL game?
Because they didn't want to get outdone by Fox. That's
why. I have never seen that.
Well, it was the first time it's
ever.
It's the first time it's ever happened. Dan Snyder would never do that. Anyway,
I'm glad he wouldn't.
Nobody would want to hear it.
Yeah, well exactly.
True.
I don't know, man. I think I'd like to hear it. Listen, let's go over some games. First of all, New Orleans put it on Carolina Thursday night, and that was predictable, but the over was not. It actually went under. So I split that. How did you have that game?
The which game?
Thursday night, New Orleans, Carolina. I'll say this.
I didn't,
Carolina's horrible on short rest. Because Cam Newton evidently needs at least a week to get ready for a ball game. He can't do it in 3 days like Drew Brees. And that was kind of the way I mean, first of all, you know, they won at home and beat Green Bay mm-hmm. the week before. So if you're on a short week, that's the team you want to be, the home team.
Yeah.
Indoors, in a place where they normally win anyway, the New Orleans Saints do. But that was Thursday night. Now you're looking at San Diego at Miami. Are you on that now?
Do you want me to pull it up?
Yeah, you do that. I like you leading in. Matthew, you got your... There you go. Go ahead.
Well, I don't have anything pulled up at the moment. But
anyway, San Diego and Miami. Roy, lines moved 3.5 points in Miami's favor.
Mm-hmm.
All the money's on San Diego. Clark likes San Diego, but he said it was a toss-up. I'm taking Miami because all week I like this game. Because what I like... Miami is quietly playing great defense. And, you know, they're running the heck out of the football, too. Mm-hmm. San Diego has a little bit of a hard time stopping the run. I'm taking Miami minus the 2.5 here.
I am on San Diego plus the 2.5. So.
Well, that ought to tell you where to be. You know, there's only 29% of the money is bet on Miami. 71% on San Diego.
I'm seeing 60-40.
I'm looking at, well, then mine's obviously more accurate.
Money, San Diego's 60.
Are you looking at the same thing?
Vegas Insider?
Yeah, I'm on that. 71-29. 60-40 is
that's the spread. Yeah.
That's the money line.
Yeah, the money line.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the spread. I said 71% of the money.
Oh, okay.
The money is mostly bet on
the
spread.
The spread, 71%.
But you know what? The boys don't like to lose, correct?
That's right.
So, you know, if Miami covers, they hit 71% profito.
Then the boys are happy.
Yeah, I like that one. Give me another one, Matt. Watch the coffee.
Next up would be the Cincinnati Bengals hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars.
This
Cincinnati
is the one you like.
10.5 point favorite here. The over-under is 43.5.
And I'm pretty sure. Oh, my God.
Yes, this is my straight cash homie. AJ Green has officially been ruled in for the day.
Straight cash, homie.
Why are you doing that? Yeah, dude. It's yours too?
No. I wanted him to.
He wanted Randy.
I wanted Randy, man. Randy. Matt's all upset because he spilled coffee on his computer.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's actually
pointing
working.
Down does not mean
I'm pointing at the thing.
I thought I
there's
do.
Ton, there's 1, 2, 3, 4.
You know, after four years, you think we'd have this together?
You think we'd have some
six.
Four now, times six?
Matt,
is,
never mind. Don't worry about it.
Four times six is 32.
There's 32 buttons there.
No, four times six is 24.
There's 24 buttons.
Are you high?
32
eight times
it is
four
24.
Is you can ask
Matt.
Me,
how dare you answer that?
Hey, listen. Anyway, Cincinnati, I like this all week. And I like the fact that AJ Green's coming back. Don't get me wrong, Roy.
Oh, man.
But you know what? Cincinnati looked so bad last
week. But AJ Green is back, and he is ready to roll. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Cincinnati might look bad at times, but the Jacksonville Jaguars are bad all the time.
Yeah, pretty much. But they did beat Cleveland.
Yes, but that's the Cleveland Browns. So as long as as they're not playing Cleveland at home, I think they got this. I mean, they're playing Cincinnati on the road. That already
look.
Vontaze
Burfict or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. You know, you almost feel like you're burping when you say his name. Burfict.
Yeah, cover your mouth when you say that.
Burfict. He is out today. I mean, there's a couple of guys out. They got a cornerback out. They got an offensive lineman out.
Long as Cincinnati shows up, they're going to win this game.
Well, they will at home because they've won almost every home game they've had.
As long as there's
they actually tied somebody this year, remember, 37-37 at home because they missed like a 37-yard field goal at the end of the game.
As long as there is no bus accident in this game, then Cincinnati wins this game handedly. This is going to be a blowout. This is going to be AJ Green coming back out.
You have just jinxed the hell out of them.
Nope.
Mm-mm. All right.
They are unjinxable.
Matt, give me that noise thing. Thank you very
Next
much.
Next up, this would be the Washington Redskins trying to drive to the Minnesota.
I
skipped the game, but that's cool.
That's okay.
Trying to drive to the Minnesota Vikings. The spread here is Minnesota minus one. The over-under is 44.5.
You know, I was on Washington all week on this game because they are a much better. They have, you know what Washington has? They have some tools. Minnesota has virtually nothing. Their best receiver is Cordarrelle Patterson out of Tennessee, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can't even run a route. He doesn't. They can't get him to run his routes properly. He doesn't block. They don't have Adrian Peterson, right? They don't really have weapons. Minnesota, and I watched Zimmer, do his press conference like Friday afternoon, he looked suicidal, man. I mean, he just looked like he wasn't having a good time at all because they've got like five starters out, four on defense. I'm taking Washington here for four stars. I got to. You know what? If you get in a wreck in the bus, that's a good sign.
There's just so much bad surrounding the Washington.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, you know what? With any luck, RG3 hurts his knee, maybe. I mean, I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but if it happened, I wouldn't be that upset because we've got two quarterbacks behind him.
So
I like Colt. The players, how about Colt? 25 for 30, 299 yards.
The players are obviously distraught about this, okay? Pierre Garçon is texting out photos of the bus accident. Keenan Robinson tweeted out, "Man, next time I'ma just take Uber to the game." So this is obviously something that's going on in the locker room. And
Uber.
Then
Uber X, at least.
Spend
an extra dollar.
Right. Then to add to all of this, now you have ESPN reporting that that A, Robert Griffin has lost the locker room, and B, that Dan Snyder's the one who made the call to start RG3 there, and you have players tweeting out and texting reporters saying that they're tired of the drama. The Redskins players' heads are somewhere else, and Minnesota is at home. I don't like this game at all. I have the Redskins plus 1.5, but I don't like this game at all. And this
you know
is
what?
Extreme
I bet this.
Trap
I bet this game goes under. You know why? It's outdoors. It's 42 degrees, and the wind is blowing 20 miles an hour up there. It's like a wind chill of about 25 or 30, right? I mean, it seems like it. Hey, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm a realtor. I'm Bruce Hall, and we'll be back in a minute with more of Sports Talk, 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back.
You just showed me a really neat picture of Foxborough. It looks like a blizzard.
It's like a blizzard.
It's snowing in Foxborough right now?
It's snowing sideways in Foxborough right now. So definitely a blizzard going on in there. So that looks, that to me, that only favors
all
one
it
team
says,
one team only.
All it says here on Vegas Insider, which, you know, I understand why, because they probably don't want to update the fact that it's blowing sideways there and it's snowing because everybody jump all over the under. Because it's pretty tough to score when you can't hold on to the ball.
Take the under in that Denver game, man. That is going to be.
And you know what? That's not a little under. It's 54.
It's gonna be unpleasant. It is blizzarding there. So a couple things that are just coming across. Dez Bryant, who is in his last year of his deal with Dallas, he has signed on with Jay-Z's sports agency, Roc Nation.
Oh, boy.
So apparently he's hiring the company to negotiate his next contract. So I'm sure Jerry Jones is pumped about that.
Where will that be?
That's a great question.
Well, he's from Oklahoma, right?
He's from, yeah, he so, grew up
so,
a Cowboys
so Dallas
fan.
Is, yeah, Dallas yeah. is his place.
He probably is not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Next across the reel here is Adrian Peterson and his reps have been, they've been in ongoing talks to reach a plea agreement. So this could be as early as Tuesday.
Think he'll do time?
That's per Adam Schefter. So if he reaches a plea deal, then the assumption would be he wouldn't do any time.
You know what? I think he's going to be on double secret probation for the rest of his life.
I still don't think he comes back and plays this year, but you could see him back in the NFL next year, possibly. But definitely not with the Minnesota Vikings. They've already said that they've moved.
Coach Zimmer would like to have him back.
They've said they've moved on with a.
Oh, they did. They released him.
I believe.
I didn't think they'd released him.
I gotta look that up, but I'm pretty sure that they said that.
I don't think contractually they have.
Ray Rice has been released.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's gone.
He's gone. And you know what? Let me tell you this. Even though he did hit Jhené with a pretty good solid left hook, and you know, there's pictures of it and film of it and all of that. He looks like he's getting ready to do something because he's suing on behalf of Double Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. He's claiming that he was burned twice for the same offense. And in reality, that's true. But, you know, it's just that's why there's too many lawyers in the NFL. No one's going to get in trouble. Nothing's going to happen. The problem isn't going to go away no matter how many times they say, you know.
Yeah, Ray Rice.
It's sad. It really
I don't think he's definitely not back this year. It would be
But he's not going to be a Baltimore Raven ever. Released him.
It'll be pretty amazing if he plays next
season. Well, it wasn't like he had a great year last year anyway.
He
was pretty horrible.
Yeah, averaged like 2.7 or 3.
He was like 15, 20 pounds overweight.
They were the worst rushing team in the league last year.
And this year they got Justin Forsett, who just happened to come over with Gary Kubiak from Denver.
Yeah.
And he was averaging over 5 yards a carry. Or 6 yards a carry for a while. Now he's at 5'6".
Houston, right?
No. Forsett came with Kubiak. Yo, he was in Houston. He played for him in Houston. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, Gary Kubiak is the difference in that team right now.
Absolutely. They needed a running offensive coordinator, and they got one.
Didn't they have the guy that was is the new head coach in Detroit, mm-hmm. was the offensive coordinator before Kubiak came there.
Yeah, it was the guy
the head coach.
He coached the Colts for a little
bit. The Indianapolis Colts. He was like Peyton's guy.
Mm-hmm, I forget his name.
I mean, not like Peyton needs an offensive coordinator. He is the offensive coordinator.
They had a couple really bad
Jim Caldwell. Yeah, phenomenal coach.
Jim Caldwell was the OC there, and before that it was oh, God, I forget his name. He was terrible, too.
Hey, Matt, do me a favor. Hit that grunt sound again. Hit it one more time. I got to get pumped. Hey, you know, we did skip a game. And the game that we did skip was Tampa Bay-Cleveland, and no wonder we skipped it. First of all, even though Cleveland is 4-3 and 3-1 at home, they're Cleveland. Tampa Bay may have the second worst team in the league. I would say besides the Oakland Raiders... They're number 31. I've got Tampa rated number 31. And this is a 51-49 spread. Right now, Cleveland's minus 6.5. You know, Tampa almost won at home last week. And by the way, I lost that game. I had Tampa at home. They lost in overtime on a completed pass and fumble that was picked up and run like 40 yards for a touchdown. Minnesota beat them.
You can't bet on Tampa.
I mean, it couldn't have. Yeah, stop it. Of course you can. I mean, that's what the line's all about, Roy. Don't ever talk like that. Give me the next game. We're not even going to talk about that game.
The next game here is the Philadelphia Eagles. They head to Houston to take on the Texans. They open up as a -2 favorite over Houston. And the spread here, or the over-under here, is 48.
You know,
if I could read that line, that would be a lot easier.
I like the over for 3 or 4 stars anyway, just because of Philly. You know, even though their defense is playing much better, mm-hmm. you know, they shut out. They had the only shutout in the NFL 2 weeks ago against the New York Giants, remember? 27-0. But I like Philly here, -2. They're a better team than Houston. They don't seem to have a problem playing away from home. And I'm going to take them for 4 stars. I like Philadelphia. They're one of my 6 or 7, you know, releases today. Even though they're 72% of the money's on the spread, I just don't see Houston even winning at home. Now, they can run the football. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think they can cover. You know, they've got injuries in their secondary. They're deep. Now, they got J.J. Watts.
Yes. Yeah, they do.
But that's it. Who else do they have?
Who else do you need?
But this guy from Oregon, they
still have a very good Houston defense. J.J. Watt is the defensive player of the year, bar none.
Yeah, right now.
For Houston. And the X factor in this game is a guy named Arian Foster, who is running the ball right now
looks
like crazy.
Good. He looks good.
If the Houston defense can be the Houston defense and shut down this Philadelphia
they don't
offensive
have,
attack.
Yeah, but they're not the Houston defense that they should be. That's why they're 4-4. They can't stop anybody now.
Well, that's a hell of a lot better than they were a year ago.
Well, Philadelphia's 5-2. They're in the East. They know they can win it. They need the win. Mm-hmm. Dallas is, you know, right now with Romo hurt and DeMarco Murray really needing a rest. I mean, did you also notice that in the Redskins Dallas Cowboy game this past week? They kept DeMarco Murray. Now, he did put the ball on the ground. two or three times.
He still rushed for 150 yards, but
they gave him the entire third or fourth quarter off.
Yeah, didn't run him. They didn't run the guy.
Well, it ended up costing him the game
in overtime. Yeah,
in my opinion, it ended up costing them the game. I don't even think I would have had Romo. They shouldn't even have brought Romo back.
No,
but we already talked about that. I'm taking Philly. Do you like either of these teams?
I like Houston to win outright. I wouldn't play the game.
Man, you are on the opposite side of me on almost everything. Matt, hit that funny sound again.
Next up, the New York Jets fly to Kansas City. Kansas City is a 9-point favorite here. The over-under is 41.
Straight cash, homie! Straight cash, homie.
Thank you, Matt.
He's like an orchestra conductor.
Matthew either got too much sleep or not enough last night. Let me tell you, Kansas City is going to kick the living crap out of Michael Vick and the New York Jets today. Now, I've been wrong before. But I don't think I'm wrong here. I think Kansas City at home destroys the Jets. I think Vic goes in there. He plays pretty good for a while. Then he gets beat up. Then he leaves with a concussion. Then Geno comes back and actually looks better than Vic. Then they won't know what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just signed somebody, too, as their number three quarterback. They signed Phil Simms' son, I think, his second son. Not the lefty. The righty.
Not the one that got busted with a
whole bunch of reefer. The other one.
Didn't his appendix also explode on
the field? Yeah, well, that happened when they played the Redskins in the playoffs. You know what? I like Kansas City here, but I like the over, too. The over is 41.5. That is not a lot of points, and the weather in Kansas City is not that bad today. And if the Jets are going to be competitive, they're going to need to score, what do you think, 17, 20, 21 points?
I don't see a way that the Jets win this
game. I know, but I see the over, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's a nice little hedge.
I'm taking
Kansas City.
Kansas City could hit the over by themselves.
Well, that's why I'm taking it, Goofy. The Jets' defensive backfield is pathetic.
It's very bad.
They give up a 109 quarterback rating on the average. Let me repeat that. Their average quarterback rating that they give up is 109. That's Hall of Fame numbers plus 10.
Alex Smith's about to have a field day.
Yeah, you know what? And Alex Smith has looked good at times this year. He's looked real good. I like Alex Smith. Plus, you know.
That makes one of us.
Oh, stop it. Go on to the next one.
Next up would be the Arizona Cardinals, led by Carson Palmer, heads down to the Dallas Cowboys. The boys, it's a pick game now, and the over-under here is 44.
It's already a pick. It was 4. Unbelievable. Romo doesn't play. Yeah, it's a pick. You know, I'm going to pass on this game, even though Clark loves him. I'm just going to leave it alone because Dallas needs to win. And what if Brandon Whedon comes in and looks as good as he looked last week? Oh, that's right. He won't because they're playing Arizona. You know, here's what I'm wondering. Do you think he took any snaps with the first team this week? Well, then I bet he's going to be okay, probably. He is Brandon Whedon.
Yes.
Did you see how much? Yep, but look at this. 86% of the money on the spread is on Arizona. Pass. I'm going to pass on the game.
I'm not taking
Arizona. That's too much money.
Zona. Zona's the real deal.
You like him.
Mm-hmm.
You like him. You like the total. I think the total goes under 48. 48.
I could see it go. It's 44.5 now.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's going down.
You're right. Current 44.5.
I still probably like the under. I don't know if Dallas
I could see 20-17. You know they win games. You know without scoring a lot of points anyway. Arizona. I know. I totally agree with you. Okay, sounds good. Next one, Matthew.
Next up, the St. Louis Rams head to San Francisco, take on the 49ers. San Francisco is a 10-point favorite here. The over-under here is 44.
At 11:30.
Okay.
You know what? I see... Well, this was almost my homie. This is San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Minus 10, I'm taking them.
The only thing that scares me here is that St. Louis plays San Francisco very well in recent years. So, scared me a little bit, but I'm with you, man. San Francisco is the smart play here, but don't be surprised if St. Louis somehow makes a run.
Sounds good. We'll be back in a minute with more on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, #BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We will be joined shortly by the manager of the World Series champion San Francisco Giants, that being Mr. Bruce Bochy. The Giants, as we talked about a little bit earlier in the show, defeated the Kansas City Royals 3-2 in a Game 7 to take home the crown again. So, Bruce, I guess we'll start off talking a little bit of some baseball before we have Boch on.
Now, we'll be talking plenty of baseball when Boch gets on here. He's actually going to the San Francisco Giant game here in a little while. San Francisco 49er game. He's been to plenty of San Francisco Giant games. I'm sitting here looking at the stats since we're going to talk a little baseball. Mm-hmm. And by the way, let's do this. Let's look at, let's go back to VegasInsider.com real quick. Can mm-hmm. we do that?
Sure.
Let me see what I just did. Did I just mess up?
You got your call?
Hope not.
We got a call right now. Bruce, is that you?
It's me.
Hey, how many of these have you done in the last couple, 3 days? Like 1,000?
You're pretty close. I think about 990, but you're close.
You know, the only thing I can think of right now is that you must be working out on that wine cellar a little bit, aren't you?
You know what? I haven't had time to do anything, really. We had to wrap the season up. They had these videos, MLB, and, of course, the Giants have theirs, and then the parade. And of course, meetings. We have free agents, so it's still going pretty strong. I'm going to go to the Niners game just to get away today.
No, I don't blame you. Listen, I released the Niners -10. I like them today. Oh, he's playing champions. Thank you, Matt. That's great. Like he hasn't heard this before. And by the way, I just missed
you. I like to think I'm the first.
Hey, Boch, I was on the field for about an hour. I got to see some of the guys come out, but you were still in the dugout, and or in the clubhouse, and I know what you were doing. Brett tried to get me to come up and sit with him, but you know how superstitious I am. You guys were up 3-2, and I wasn't moving. I didn't move. You know, I didn't take my hat off. I didn't do anything. And when Pablo made that catch, I went back up there, and I just missed Bruce and Mark and your brother. And I was there with Tommy, you know, Bum's agent, and he got me on the field. But it was fun. Let me tell you, I had a great time. I'm just glad I got to be there because, honestly, God, if something had happened, you hadn't won, and I couldn't, and I wasn't there, I would have thought it was my fault, you know.
Well, I would say the same thing, you know, because I knew when you came to the game, I not only had to beat the Royals, I had to beat you because, you know, I'm kidding. You actually did good luck for me, but. You know, when just a quick story, Tommy Little, Bum's agent,
yeah.
you just mentioned, you know, he played together with me in the Clark Griffith League. We lived together. We were roommates. And so when we went up that summer and stayed in Arlington, he was my roommate. And then we played in that Maryland Industrial League. He was a left-handed pitcher. He's the brother of Grady Little and Brian Little, who's the advanced scout for the White Sox.
Now, Grady used to be the head coach in Boston, right? He was the manager of the Boston Red Sox 1 year, right, or 2 years?
Right. He went there. He's there. They went to L.A. I brought him to the big leagues the first time. He was my bullpen coach in San Diego. And then he went to Cleveland, became the bench coach, and then he went to Boston to become their manager.
Hey, listen, I know exactly how you feel, because after playing 42 games and hopefully the playoffs even in the summer, I'm ready for a vacation. You had 162 games and another how many spring training games are there? Like 35 or 36 or something?
I think there's 41 last year.
There's a lot of
squads and yeah, there's a lot. With spring training now, it's become a moneymaker. You've been there. I mean, they're sold out, so
every game.
Now we're playing more games. We have split squad. We have day-night games and a doubleheader. So it's getting to the point where we're playing close to 40 games every spring, and so it's really important that we try to watch your playing time early in the season, so they have something left in the tank at the end. But I mean, what a run!
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
We just closed it out with that parade, and now, I was saying goodbye to a lot of guys. They were packing up and taking off. Pablo's heading to Miami. You know, it's I'm glad it's over and we're the champions. But it's kind of sad, you know, you've seen guys leave because we become a family. But I'll see him here soon.
Yeah,
it's going to be a short off season.
It won't be long at all, and I'll be there for 2 or 3 weeks too, bugging the crap out of you like I always do. Listen, let's talk briefly. We're on the phone with Bruce Bochy, an old Little League buddy of mine. Bochy, I tell people from time to time that I was a foot taller than you at one time, and now you're a foot taller than me.
I like how you introduce him as a Little League buddy and not the World Series manager.
Well, here's the deal. Now, you got to understand one thing. Hey, people want to know why I'm a San Francisco Giant fan. I said, well, look, I wasn't a Giant fan until 8 years ago. I said, I was a damn Padre fan for 14 years. You know, and the best thing ever happened to you is going to San Francisco. Best thing ever happened to San Francisco was you going there. The thing that I like most about this team, Boach, is you guys had a lot of adversity this year. You know, you lost some really big parts of the puzzle, and you replaced those guys. And, you know, Brian Sabian, now I know why you're best friends. And I got to tell you, man, I have a lot of respect for Saves because I saw a side of him this year that I've never seen. He got soft on us a little bit. You know, he was really happy. And, you know, to the point where, you know, I saw him in tears a couple of times. But you got to understand, you know, what you guys go through in a 162-game series. It was unbelievable. To win 3 World Series championships in 5 years, you know, I knew you were going to be in the HOF anyway because I was going to make sure you got there, whether I had to threaten somebody or not, you know. But now I think you're there. And tell me something. When did it just kind of just all fall off your chest right there at the end when Pablo made the catch? That was it, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, in that game because it was so close and anything can happen. And hearts all sank there when Gordon got the base hit and it got past Blanco and Perez went to pick it up. He dropped it. And so I don't know if they're going to try to send him or not. But, you know, I'm certainly glad they didn't, although I think we would have had him out because Cropper has a great arm. But still, you know, anything can happen. A wild pitch, a blue pit, you know, a home run, we lose a game. And the guy that made the last out, Perez, was the guy that hit a home run off of Bumgarner. And after he hit the home run, he said, well, I know he's going to pump me in. So I was looking in, and Madison just kept pounding him in. He just kept throwing that same pitch, but he got it up high enough on his hands there that he got the pop up. But, you know, until the ball went out, and initially I thought he was going out of play. I said, stay in play. And then I saw Pablo had plenty of room. And at that point, just catch it, Pablo. Let's get this thing over with.
I hear you.
So this has become kind of a every 2 year thing for you in recent years. This winning at this time, does it feel any different than 2012 or 2010?
Yeah, they're similar. I mean, they're so special. It's just, you know, going back to what Bruce was talking about, when you start in spring training, it's what you talk about, it's what you work for, and there's so much work goes into this. But this one, I will say, probably had a little more special meaning for me because of the adversity he mentioned. We lost Pagan, we lost Morris, we lost Matt Cain, Scudero. I mean, this team had to go through a lot. We really hit a slump during the season. Now we're fighting our way. I mean, we were 10 games up at one point in our division. Now we're fighting to get in a wild card, and thankfully we regrouped. And of course, the road we had to go down to get here. I mean, wild card, you're playing a do-or-die game. We have to play in Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's record this year at home was unbelievable. It was 51 and something. I don't know. But anyway, Bumgarner, you know, he carried us through that. Then we had to beat Washington. We were the underdogs. The Cardinals were favored against us. And then Kansas City, you know, they had the home field advantage because of the All-Star game. So everything that we had to go through made this even more special for us.
You know, your group of coaches that you have, you know, those guys do so much behind the scenes. You know, you got Mark Gardner, you got Flanagan, you got Ronnie Wotus, you got Billy. You know, those guys, people don't understand. They don't ever go anywhere. Hensley Mullins has been there now since 2000 or 2002. I think he's been there 5 years now, right? Your hitting coach?
He came the first year we won in 2010.
So that's right. So he's got three rings now, right?
Well, he's got three rings. So that was his first year, and I think that's part of the reason for our success here is our continuity, both on the field, the staff. You know, I guess I should mention me because I've been here 8 years, but Brian Sabian, he's the one that keeps us together and the architect of all this. And he likes continuity with his staff. And, you know, he lets me do my thing. And he's kept these core players here.
You know, we're talking to Bruce Bochy, manager of the world champion San Francisco Giants, and just a good friend of mine and an old friend of mine. Bruce, you know, being from, you know, a baseball background myself, it doesn't get any bigger or any better than winning a championship in the major leagues. You've won three of them now. Now, let me ask you this, because I want you to share this with everybody. You do some pretty neat things in the offseason. Tell everybody what you're going to spend some time doing as far as your hobbies go.
Well, I'll be honest, with everything going on, I don't have my itinerary down yet, but, you know, I'm working on it. And, you know, I have, I love to fish.
Yep.
So I think I'm going to go down to Cabo, you know, the tuna really far offshore from San Diego. So, you know, I'm getting older. So, you know, to get on a boat for 2 days to find the tuna, I'd like to do things a little easier now. And if I go down to Cabo, I can get into the Dorado and tuna a little closer, and even some marlin down there. Now, I do have an annual elk hunt I do with a good friend of mine that you know, Rick Paul.
And, yeah, oh, yeah.
It's up in Oregon. So he lets me go up there. He gives me the run at a ranch. Last year, I shot a buffalo with a bow, and that was just a bucket list thing for me. And they're just great eating. And, of course, I had to get the head for my little man cave where I watch my football game. So and then, you know, after that, I'm going to do a little East Coast swing. I went to high school in Melbourne, Florida. So I'm going to go back to Melbourne, head up the coast of Jacksonville. I'm going to go through all the little towns there, Savannah, Charleston, Nags Head, and end up in Norfolk, where I spent 2 years playing for the Tidewater Tides. And my wife and I are going to take that trip up there. Now, we're going to take our time and spend Thanksgiving with my mom's side of the family. I need to see all her sisters.
The Williamses, right?
Williams, yeah, they're outside of Fedville, a little farm town called Wade, not far from Campbell College. So I'm going to go there and spend Thanksgiving. So they have a pig picking, and it's been so long since I've been there. I need to go by and see my aunts because they watch every game. Bless their heart, and they're 90 years old, and they stay up to 1-2 in the morning watching the Giants. So I got to go by and see them.
Well, they're the best because when you play in D.C., they make the drive up. And, you know, there's all kinds of San Francisco fans in Washington when you're there. And I catch a lot of crap wearing San Francisco colors in my season ticket seats. But I got to tell you, it's been nothing but fun watching you. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And, you know, I just want to let you know, I've already done some work on what they're you haven't read it anywhere, but I'm gonna find out what they're paying Joe Madden in Chicago, and I'm gonna make sure that you get more than that. How's that sound? Joe's
place,
older than
you
are.
They've been good to me, but you know, good for Joe. And but you know, I just love this city. To work with these players in this city with all these fans and have our relationship that we have. I'm talking about Brian Sabian and I couldn't have it better. I live right across the street from the ballpark, and I would probably do this for free. This is how much fun I'm having. And, I'm just blessed to be in this situation.
Bruce, hey, listen, man, congratulations. I'm so happy for you, and I can't wait to be in Scottsdale next March, buddy. Bruce Bochy, manager of the San Francisco Giants, world champions for the third year in 5 years. Congratulations, Boach.
Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate it. Good talk with
you.
Hey,
have a good time at the San Francisco 49er game today.
All right, thanks.
We'll see you, buddy. Bruce Bochy, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you what, you had to see it the other night to see those guys when they did their dog pile. Bochy's the biggest guy. He's bigger than Michael Morse. He's the only guy there that makes Michael Morse look small. I'm Bruce Hall, and I got a message for you. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. We'll be back in a minute with the end of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're going to run down the rest of the NFL games today, get to our top picks. I believe we still have Bruce's straight cash to go.
No, right? Actually, I did not. Kansas City was my straight cash.
Okay, so we have hit both
of
our straight
cash. Yeah, we hit them both. Now, who was yours?
My straight cash is...
straight cash, homie.
Who was it? Cincinnati over Jacksonville.
You know what? So generally speaking, if you believe in both of us, you tease them together and have fun with it.
And then you
play them both straight, and so you're 3 for 3, right?
Mm-hmm. So if you teased Cincinnati and Kansas City, what do you get?
They'd both be like -4.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, you know, and of course, one of them would probably win with a field goal, and you'd lose everything.
Yep, so. And you'd lose all your money. So do that.
so do that if you want to.
So we left off. We had just both picked San Francisco over the St. Louis Rams, and we know Bruce Bochy is going to be in attendance for that now, so he'll probably get some play.
They're going to crush the Rams if they just see Boch there. Mm-hmm. If they just see Boch there, they'll go
maybe
crazy.
Maybe they'll have your boy
maybe
Daniel
they'll
Bryan
do,
there.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
You just showed me that. Mm-hmm. You should. Is that on your website?
No, it's not.
You should actually put it on your website.
I'll tweet it out, maybe.
You know, Roy's going
to... I tweeted it out when it happened, live.
He looks just like Hunter Pence, only with a longer beard.
A little bit.
I can see Hunter, but Hunter doesn't have a real thick beard, though. No, Daniel Bryan's got a hell of a thick beard.
He does
beard.
Have a good beard. He's got a solid beard. So the next game, let's hit that.
Okay.
Next up would be the blizzard of the day, the Denver Broncos traveling to the New England Patriots. The Denver Broncos are somehow favored, -3 here. The over-under here is a ridiculous 52.5.
I'm taking Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. He's 10-5 against Peyton. He's at home. He's at home.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
they
freezing
need,
there.
They need the win.
There's a blizzard going
now
on.
They're gonna, now, let me just say this. They're going to win. They're going to win the East easily. This is the only thing that scares me about this game. Look at me. Mm-hmm. The only thing that scares me about this game is conspiracy theories. Belichick, I don't trust him. But I think that they really do try to win this game, don't you?
I think they try. Absolutely, I think
okay.
they try.
And Tom Brady. And by the way, there was somebody on a local sports channel here in D.C. that will remain nameless. Mm-hmm. We're talking about who was tougher, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I mean tougher. Let me tell you, they both said that Tom Brady was tougher. I started laughing. I said, you both need to take a drug test. Peyton got beat up by his older brother for a while. Then he beat up his younger brother for a while. Peyton is a very physical athlete. He's all man. Tom Brady had 3 older sisters that were better athletes than him. Seriously. He even admits it. And his wife can beat the crap out of him.
What, Peyton's wife?
No, not Peyton's
Tom
wife.
Tom Brady's wife.
Tom Brady's wife.
Okay.
Giselle could kick his rear end any day.
She probably lets him.
Have you ever seen? Have you ever seen her do her sidekicks on TV?
I haven't. No.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Is she a kickboxer?
Yes, she is. She trains as a kickboxer.
Really?
Yeah, Giselle.
Well,
she makes like $89 million a year,
yeah,
and she
bigger,
works out hard.
She's the bigger name of
she
it.
She smokes cigarettes though.
Yeah, well, so
she's a smoker.
That's okay.
No big deal.
Some people smoke.
Yeah, some people smoke.
Tom Brady wears
Matthew,
Uggs
Matt
and
quit
she
smoking.
Smokes.
Matthew quit smoking. Yes, he quit smoking. He's taking every thing known to man to make sure he stops.
Well,
he's got kids. He can't smoke. Oh, that's funny. Well, go to the next game. Matt, you got that thing.
The next game is the Seattle Seahawks hosting the Oakland Raiders.
They're 15, aren't they?
This line opened up at -16. Now it's 13.5, so it went back up a half margin in the last hour.
Is it 14?
The over-under here is 43. It's 13.5.
You know, I'm tempted to take this as like one of the few double-digit high ones. I'm not taking it either.
I can't take it.
But I'm tempted to give the points. You know why? They need to win. They've had a lot of problems. Need. You want to talk about some, you were talking about the Redskins being in turmoil. How about the Seattle Seahawks? They're talking about breaking them up. They may not make the playoffs because Arizona and San Francisco both might make the playoffs instead of them. It's possible.
The Marshawn Lynch is reported not being coming back next year. Percy Harvin is
gone.
He's now a Jet.
Yeah, they're better off without
him. Golden Tate is now in Detroit.
Been there.
I mean, there is a lot of pieces, very, very, very big pieces of this team that are now gone, and it's now squarely on the shoulders of a man named Russell Wilson. So I don't like the 13.5. I wouldn't take it, but I mean, Oakland's terrible. Oakland is so bad, but I mean, you'd have to think that. What are you showing me here? You have to think that Seattle's going to win this game. The 13.5 just scares me.
You know, we got 2 minutes left in the show. I'm going to pass on it. I'm not stupid.
That's a good pick.
It's a lot of points. Next,
I mean, if this is a 10, maybe
11 and right. a half. Big difference when you go past 14. Go ahead.
Next up, we have probably the outside of the Brady and Peyton matchup. This is probably the game to watch of the day. It's the Baltimore Ravens. They travel to Pittsburgh. Baltimore is a 1-point favorite here. The over-under here is 47.5. In one of what has been one of the biggest rivalries, probably the biggest rivalry team-related in the NFL in recent years, whereas Peyton and Brady have kind of they've been the biggest player rivalry, I guess.
What time is this game? Is this 4 o'clock?
This is the Sunday night game.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's going to be cold. It's going to be a little windy.
Mm-hmm.
Both quarterbacks have good arms. Baltimore has built their team to beat Pittsburgh. Remember when they used to always lose to them? Now they always beat them. I'm going to pass on it, but if you have to take the game, take the Ravens.
This is a 38 degrees game time temperature
here. Yeah,
with
10 mile an hour is like 25 or 20.
With 6 to 11 mile an hour winds.
It's going to be chilly.
It is going to be a cold night in Pittsburgh.
I'm
going
to pass on
the game. I like Pittsburgh in this game.
All right, I'm passing on a game.
I wouldn't play Pittsburgh. I'm not playing this game.
Okay.
But I like Pittsburgh.
I hear you. You saw what they did last week. They broke my heart.
That's a fluke.
Yeah, but that wasn't a fluke. That was 528 yards.
Real quick before we get out of here, Indianapolis and New York Giants, Monday night.
Oh, Indy, for sure. Because the Giants are hurting. They're beat up. We got about how many seconds would you say, Matt?
We're done.
15 seconds. People, take care. I loved having Bruce Bochy on. Clark Judge, thank you very much, buddy. We'll be back next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. See ya.